Fast Eddie here in the studios of EAA Radio with Sean Clark from NASA, an electrical engineer. I'll bet you he's got something interesting for us. Welcome to EAA, Sean.
Well, thanks, Eddie.
So what are you working on there over at NASA?
So we're really excited. We're bringing back manned X-plane flight testing out at NASA. We're undertaking the X-57 project, which is an all-electric experimental airplane that we're building at NASA as a partnership between the Aero Research Centers.
An electric experimental aircraft. Man, that sounds like right up my alley. So what makes this thing so unusual that NASA has to take it on?
So what we wanted to do is take advantage of the new technology that electric motors provide. Now that electric motors are becoming so efficient and so reliable, we can start to redesign aircraft around this technology. And so we wanted to find a way to make a high-speed small aircraft by redesigning the wing so that it's optimized for cruise flight. And so our wing is actually a high aspect ratio wing. We're converting a Technam aircraft, a four-seat P2060, and putting a higher aspect ratio wing on there and taking advantage of a few ways we can integrate the electric propulsion technology to make this whole thing more efficient.
All right, so you're not exactly reinventing the wheel, but you're definitely tweaking it. You're changing the wing on the airplane.
That's right. We're modifying the airplane, so we're keeping the fuselage and the tail and a lot of the cockpit just the same as it is from a standard off-the-assembly line Technam. But with this new wing, we'll be able to cruise with about 5 times less energy than the original Technam. And so when we're going at altitude at 150, 160 knots, we'll be using up to 5 times lower energy per passenger mile.
Well, that's fantastic. What kind of a motor are you using on this?
We're using some new electric motors. We have a partner in California named Joby Aviation, and they've built some electric motors for NASA in the past, and they're building a custom electric motors for this vehicle. And so they're building a high reliability redundant phase motor that we'll put on our new experimental wing.
Well, now electric motors are great, but they're known for generating heat. How are you handling the heat on that motor?
They are, but they're actually much more efficient than the piston engines we're replacing. So for a piston engine, when you take the hydrocarbon fuel, in the case of the Rotax engine, you take your jet fuel or gasoline and convert it to energy, you only get about a third of the energy stored in that fuel converted to torque at the propeller. With motors, with electric motors and electric controllers, you can get 3 times that. So we'll get over 90% efficiency. So there's much less heat than would be generated for a comparably sized piston engine. And for the rest of it, we do have some residual heat, and we'll be using air cooling system in order to keep the whole project as simple as possible.
Okay, I've heard of water-cooled motors being used, but this is just strictly air-cooled.
Yeah, water cooling would work, but we wanted to build this airplane focusing on the area of research that we've identified with this high-performance wing, and we wanted to keep the auxiliary systems around the propulsion system as simple as we possibly can. And so we're using an air-cooled motor. We're using a direct drive system, so the motor's directly connected to the propeller shaft, and so we don't have a gearbox to worry about. And anything we can do to keep the whole project focused on the technology at hand and avoid distractions and failure points is an advantage to us.
What kind of current is this motor going to be pulling?
Our motors are going to be running at about 60 kilowatts during takeoff.
And so
We're taking out a couple 100-horsepower Rotax engines and putting in a couple 60-kilowatt electric motors, which works out to about 80 horsepower. And so those will use up about 60 kilowatts during takeoff, but when we get up to cruise, it'll be much lower. They'll only be required to operate around 42 or 45 kilowatts.
Okay, well, that's pretty interesting. What kind of batteries are you going to be using in this airplane?
Yeah, that's the Achilles heel of electric airplanes right now is the battery technology. So we're using a lithium-ion battery system. It's a series of 18 650 cells, kind of like the Tesla car uses, and it's actually about a third the weight of our airplane. So we're going to have about 800 pounds of batteries in the place where the back seats normally would be for our aircraft. We're going to take those seats out and put in battery packs with more air cooling and a lot of management systems in order to make sure that we can maintain safety.
Yeah, well, that's one of the concerns with the lithium batteries. If you're not careful with them, they will catch fire. I've personally seen this with lithium ion batteries and radio control models. They don't like to be abused at all.
That's right. Yeah, that's definitely a risk. We're using a slightly lower energy density battery, so that risk is lowered a little bit there. And we're also taking advantage of some research that NASA has done with space station batteries. And so we've done a lot of studies on how to pack these 18650 cells in a safe configuration in order to prevent a single cell from failing and starting a fire and causing a thermal runaway that propagates to adjacent cells. And so by spacing out the cells a little bit more and providing sufficient cooling, then we should be able to control that risk effectively.
I was going to say, the rumor is that if your electric airplane is trailing smoke, you should think about landing immediately.
That's right. And that's one of the advantages of being out at Edwards Air Force Base, where we'll do our flight testing, is if there's any problem with our experimental propulsion system, at any time we can cut power to the system and land on our dry lake bed where the space shuttle used to land. And so it's a really great resource to be able to set it down whenever we need to.
I was going to say, you've got scads of real estate out there. Landing isn't a problem. It's the ride back to the facility that's going to be the hard part.
That's right. We'll be staying above the lake bed for the entire flight, and we've got a nice 12,000-foot runway that's paved and another 5,000 feet to roll out on when we take off. So we have plenty of room, and we'll take full advantage of that.
Well, now you're redesigning the wing. You're removing the old wing, and you're custom building a wing for this aircraft. And it's a long, skinny wing. You said the high aspect ratio. When I hear that, I think of the B-29. That's a perfect example of a high aspect ratio wing. It's long, and it's skinny, and it works great at high altitudes. What kind of materials are you going to be using in this?
Yeah, so we're building our wing. It's going to be a composite wing, so it's all carbon. And it's got to deal with loads from the motors that are comparable to the original ones. So it's actually a bit of a challenge to design structurally. Part of the idea for this wing is by making it high aspect ratio, we get better cruise efficiency, like you say, when we're up at altitude and at high speed. One of the other things we're doing with the wing is putting our electric motors at the wingtip, which is a unconventional place to put your propulsion system typically. But because electric motors are so light and so much more reliable, it starts to make sense to move them out from near the fuselage to the wingtip, because then we can interact with the vortex that forms at the wingtip and actually recover some of the energy that's normally lost into the vortex.
And increase the efficiency of
the
aircraft.
That's right. Yeah, so we'll get benefits from that vortex interaction, and that will demonstrate improved propulsive efficiency.
What's the diameter of the props you're going to be using?
Our cruise props are about 60-inch diameter, and
okay.
So they're very comparable to the ones that we're replacing. We're switching to a three-bladed prop, but it's a variable pitch, constant speed system, just like we have on the baseline vehicle.
And it's all going to be electrically driven, of course.
It's electrically actuated props, too.
Now, you mentioned that you're going to be putting the battery pack in the rear seat compartment of the aircraft. Do you have, here's a win-win for you. If you could figure out a way to put those battery packs in the wings, you'd free up room in the aircraft, and you'd also help with battery cooling as well. Have you guys given any thought to that?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense in the long run. So with our experimental aircraft, we're keeping everything as simple as we can and easy to maintain as possible. But as this technology matures and we demonstrate the viability of these techniques, and you start to see adoption of technologies like this in the market, then opportunities like that make a lot of sense. I think if you wanted to make a commercial vehicle based on this technology, you would definitely want to look at moving the batteries into the wing and even using the battery as part of the structural capability of the wing.
You know, another thing that might be considered too, solar impulse. They have solar cells on the top wing. Is this a possibility further down the line?
Yeah, that's an interesting opportunity there for them. One of the problems for us is that the wing is higher aspect ratio, and so we're trying to make our wing as small as we can, and so we don't have a lot of room left for solar panels.
Okay, well, you've got a lot of things going on. It is a big juggling act. There's, I'm sure, many compromises that go along with this. How long have you been working on the project?
We've been working on these technologies in the experimental phase for 3 or 4 years now. We did a test out at Edwards called Leap Tech, and you may see some pictures on the NASA site, where we put a distributed propulsion system on top of a truck and drove it around on our lake bed at 70 and 80 miles an hour in order to understand how a distributed propulsion system would behave.
Well, that's very interesting. I imagine that the level of excitement on this project is pretty high down there.
Oh, we're really excited. We actually just got our baseline aircraft delivered to California and is undergoing our first inspections now, and we're going to start the electrification process in the next few weeks.
How long has this project been underway?
The X-57 project started about a year and a half ago, and so we're wrapping up the detailed design phase, and we'll be starting the fabrication phase around the winter this year.
Well, that sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun there. You need anybody to help you sling carbon fiber?
Absolutely. We have a lot of small business partners, and so we're building our carbon fiber wing out at a small company called Experimental in California, and building a lot of the auxiliary systems at a company called Empirical Systems Aerospace, and our batteries are from a small company in California called Electric Power Systems. So we're taking full advantage of the workforce outside the government and within.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're delegating a lot of work on this thing, but you know, that's really good because you get to implement all of this stuff, put it all together, and then figure out how to make it work. What kind of range are you looking for on this aircraft?
Well, that's the drawback with our architecture is we're not designing for range. We're really designing in order to get up to our altitude and test condition for a few minutes so that we can get really good performance data. So when you design for just getting to altitude, you don't end up with a vehicle that goes very far. So we expect to be able to fly for 45 minutes or an hour, depending on how efficient we turn out to be. But as this technology improves and as batteries improve over the next 10 years, then range of configurations like this will increase.
I was going to say the battery technology is only going to get better.
That's right.
And that will automatically give you improvements in the aircraft just by pulling the old ones out and putting more modern ones in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's why it's a good time for NASA to step in and do research like this, because it's not commercially viable right now with the batteries of today, but when batteries get there in the next 5 or 10 years, then this technology will be ready.
Sounds great. You've been listening to Sean Clark here with NASA out at Edwards Air Force Base. I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.